Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. So if you're a Christian, especially if you grew up Lutheran, a Lutheran Christian, you already know probably that the Bible is supposed to be very important to you, supposedly the basis of our faith in Christ Jesus. But even though we know the Bible is important, many of us don't really know quite what to do with it in our lives. We know it's supposed to be important, but it really kind of isn't important. If we told the truth, how it doesn't affect our daily lives much, because really, we don't read it. We don't listen to what God has to say a lot. Now, maybe you're different than the average person. A lot of people struggle with this. They know the Bible's supposed to be important, but it just doesn't seem to fit into their lives much or into their conversations much. Or, you know, they know they're supposed to get guidance from it, but they don't really get a lot of guidance from it, right? The Lutheran Reformers tried to explain the relationship between their faith and the Bible in this one term that was one of those big five. You know, I've talked about grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. Today it's word alone, scripture alone, sola scriptura. The last one is to God alone be the glory, by the way. But today I'm going to talk about this scripture alone or word alone concept, because it's supposed to be the basis of our faith in God. But even at that time of the Reformation, people didn't really understand what word alone meant. They got confused, the term got misused. So in order to faithfully practice it today, I think we need to understand what was originally meant by it. What were they fighting against, right? What were the reformers trying to reform in the first place? How does it apply to us today, right? First of all, there's one common misconception that I hear a lot of times from Protestants, from evangelicals just in general. And that is that the term word alone means that in order to live a life of faith, all you need to do is read the Bible. Like, that's the only book you would ever need. That if you just read the Bible, you would understand everything, right? If you grew up and the only thing you ever read was the Bible, you'd be fine, right? That's all you'd need. And the verse that's often used to talk about this is 2 Timothy 3. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. But especially they would emphasize this last part, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly, right, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped for every good work, right? There is nothing else that's necessary, right? So everything you need to know is in the Bible, everything at least that's necessary. Taken to its extreme, though, this is where the problem comes from. Christians are made to feel guilty for reading any book that's not the Bible, even if it's a Christian book, even if it's a book about the Bible. You know, you feel like, oh, that's not quite right, because the Bible is sufficient and everything else is pointless. But that's really not what the Lutheran Reformers were talking about. And how do we know? Well, there's a lot of ways we can know. But for one, Martin Luther wrote enough extra biblical material to fill 121 volumes of Luther's works. Now, why did he write these if he didn't think anyone else should read it, right? I mean, he wanted people to read these because it helped them to understand what was in the Bible, right? It helped to apply what we are learning in the Bible to our daily life. So word alone doesn't mean only the Bible and nothing else, but it does mean something about the Bible and the authority that it should have in our life. So what does word alone mean? Remember, the only church around was the Roman Catholic Church. That was it, okay? The Roman Catholic Church was the only church. And it believed then, and really it still believes today, that there's a way that you should read the Bible, interpret the Bible, understand what it's saying. And that is that the Roman Catholic Church believes that there are certain people in the church, or in the, you know, greater church, that have the authority to interpret what the Bible says. Primarily, you know, the buck stops at the bishops, or especially the Pope, the bishop to all the bishops, okay? This is commonly called a magisterium. That's your special word of the day, right? Magisterium. Maybe it'll show up in some crossword for you. But that's what it's talking about. The Pope and the bishops, they're the ones, the primary authority in the church. And they authenticate what's true or not true from our interpretations. So while the Bible is certainly sacred in the Roman Catholic Church, I mean, it is the sacred book, okay? Also, the only way it can be understood is within this tradition, within this magisterium, which is also sacred. It's sacred word and sacred tradition. So when the Lutheran reformers were bringing up word alone, they were fighting against this understanding. They said, no, it's not scripture alone and tradition alone. You know, it's word alone. That's it. You know, that's what we were fighting against. The idea that you needed both scripture and these people above you to help you understand what it was talking about. That's what they were fighting against. But why was the Roman Catholic Church interested in talking about this in the first place? I think that's important for us to understand. What problem were they dealing with? Well, they said that you needed scripture and the magisterium, the tradition, in order to keep people from jumping off the deep end theologically. Let me explain this, so hopefully you can see what both the Lutherans and the Roman Catholics were worried about. Just this past week, high school Bible study, the point was made that when we ask one of these questions that we ask every week, a lot of times we don't just come up with one answer, right? There's not just one clear answer by the end of the night. There are lots of different opinions about what scriptures we should focus on or what those scriptures mean, right? So how are we to know what opinions are right or wrong? Is it okay that everybody has an opinion and they're all equally right? Or is one more right than the others? Because if someone holds to the wrong opinion, right, well, that's not good. And what happens when people fight over their opinions? Well, it seems like nowadays you just start your own church, right? So that you can believe what you want to believe and let everybody else do something else. I mean, that's what sort of happened since the Reformation, right? We have a bazillion churches when there used to only be one. Because people said, well, I have my opinion, you have your opinion, well, I'm going to just start my own church. There's a lack of unity and also the serious possibility of heresy when anyone can decide what the Bible says. So the Roman Catholic Church decided to help people out with this problem. They were going to say, here's your final answer right here. This is the official teaching of the Pope. This is the official teaching of the Church, passed down through the bishops, then to the priests, then to you, so you don't have to worry about what the answer is. So if you're in a Bible study and you give all your opinions, say, well, what does the Pope say? What is the final teaching of the Church? Here it is, right? Oh, good. Now it's clear. I can either agree with it or not. But if I don't agree with it, then I'm disagreeing with the entire Church, right? I mean, it makes it kind of black and white. Because without that tradition, without that magisterium, people come up with the craziest of ideas, and you've probably heard them. And see, the Church was saying that they trusted that those who were the most educated on the Scriptures, right, that knew the history of the Church the best, were around these issues the most, they would have the most authoritative answer. It makes sense. I mean, really. I mean, it's an answer to the problem, at least. It's also one of the reasons Martin Luther was deemed such a heretic in the end, because it was okay that he had some ideas of his own. But they would say, you know, who are you, little Martin Luther, to say that you know the answer against the entire Church, the Pope, the bishops? Who are you to say that you are right against them, right? They said it's okay that he brought up the questions, but the fact that he was standing on that scripture alone didn't make sense to them because he wasn't following the teachings of the Church. Luther admitted that, yes, the issue in our high school Bible study is a serious one. There are lots of opinions, which one is right. But the Reformers argued the only solution to this was God's Word alone. Scripture and tradition led to the same problem in the end that it was trying to solve. Let me explain why. Remember my Bible study. Many different opinions on Scripture, what it means, how it applies to us today. The problem the Reformers had with the situation is that, with our situation in Bible study, is that we are all trying to interpret Scripture. We're all trying to use our brain power. We're trying to use our experiences. We're trying to use our extra-biblical knowledge to try to figure out what it says, deciding what the Bible means, while the concept of word alone or Scripture alone means the Bible is the authority. It interprets itself. It doesn't need you to decide what it says. It's supposed to decide for you what it says, okay? In other words, we don't stand over the Bible, right, and say, this is what you mean to me. The idea is that the Bible is the authority, so it stands over us, and it says, this is what I mean. I don't know if maybe this seems a little, too way over whatever people said, but I think that I want you to get the point that we're not in charge of what this means, right? The Bible's supposed to interpret us. It's supposed to tell us what it means. They pointed to this Bible verse in 2 Peter. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things, right? But the prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The word alone is the authority, okay? Not us, not the pastor, not the bishops, not the pope, only the Bible, okay? The Bible itself is sufficient in this way to tell us what we need to do. We may not always understand it, but that's not our fault. that's not the Bible's fault. Maybe we just don't understand it, right? There's still truth here, okay? Even if we don't always make sense of it right away. Luther argued the Roman Catholic Church was doing exactly the same thing that they were fighting against. They were fighting against individual, personal interpretations of the Bible by interpreting the Bible personally and individually for them, right? Albeit by an educated, ordained group of higher-ups in the church, okay? Luther saw, though, that as long as it was a human being doing the interpreting, as long as a human sinner doing this, we're open to error. There's going to be errors. But we all, whether the Pope or not, needed to be judged by the word alone. All of us. Remember, at the issue at the time were these things called indulgences in the Roman Catholic Church. And even today, the Catholic Church would argue, yeah, that was wrong. I mean, it was bad what was happening. Right? They would admit that it was bad. Just like Martin Luther was saying, right? Yes, that's true. It was bad. Luther was saying, as long as there's human beings trying to interpret the Bible, we're going to come up with bad things. So we need to come up and say, this is our authority. We can't trust in our own abilities, our own traditions. We've got to always go back here and say, wait a minute, do we still agree with what the Bible says? I mean, we did 5 years ago, but do we still today? So we have to have God judge us by his word alone. That's the only way that we can find the truth of our sinful condition or live a faithful life. Now, if you haven't noticed, I would say most of us, most Protestants, don't really live by the concept of word alone the way Luther and the Reformers thought of it. We often fall into the trap of our own personal interpretation still today. I know I do. When I'm working on a sermon, my first instinct is I read what the Bible says, and then I think, well, what can I do to make this, you know, how can I figure it out? How can I use an illustration to help you understand it? You know, how overcome the problems here, make it seem relevant, not be too controversial. You know, now I'm starting to immediately start moving away because I think, well, I don't want to say that because that might sound too hard, right? That I want to kind of soften it so people will accept it a little bit more. But the concept of word alone looks at our lives and our faith very differently. See, if my worldview doesn't match what the Bible tells me, who gets changed? Hey, that's the thing. Who's going to be changed by this experience when I read the Bible? If I'm the judge, I'm going to interpret the Bible to fit my needs, right? So that I don't have to change very much. Maybe a little, but not much. if it's God's word alone that has the authority, though, if God is the judge and his word is the judge, then I have to do some changing. I have to look at myself and say, hey, where do I not match here? What's wrong? The Bible interprets me. The Bible gets the final say. How do you apply this concept of word alone, scripture alone, to your life? Let's say you have a question, a big question, a little question. You open up your Bible, seek out the answer. It gets the first word. Look at the stories that you might have learned in Grow or Sunday school or wherever you learned your stories. Maybe Google it, you know. Google your question and scripture verses. I promise you, you'll find something. You got to find it because, you know, I don't know the Bible well enough to just know every place that a certain term comes up, and I bet you guys don't either. So use it. Use your resources, right? See what other Christians have to say, their perspective on it. You may not have a clear black and white answer still, but start asking some questions, okay? Because some things in the Bible, things have changed culturally over a long period of time, right? Why have they changed? Ask yourself some questions. Ask people what they think. Come to church. See if the sermon has anything to say about it, right? Pray about it, right? Ask another Christian, how have you dealt with this issue in your life? By then, you may have made up your mind and say, yep, this is what I think. Now is the part that I think most of us, including myself, forget about. Then we go back to the Bible. You go back. It gets the first word, but it also gets the final word. You go back, and before you settle on your answer, you double check. Have I strayed or compromised what I originally read? You know, has it changed in my mind to say something it totally doesn't say anymore? Like, I know I've mentioned this, and sometimes people catch me in it when I talk about Genesis 3 and how they ate the apple off the tree. It wasn't an apple. It just says fruit, right? But somehow along the way, everybody thinks it's an apple. I mean, that's a little thing. No big deal, right? But we do this all the time with big deal things. We just kind of forget what the Bible said in the first place in our, you know, lives and our experiences. So you go back to the Bible and say, what did that say again? It should have the final word. Make sure that you are being affected by the Bible, that you're not changing the words just to meet your needs, because that's what it's like to have the Word alone be your way of life. To summarize, Word alone does not mean that you can only read the Bible. You're free to read a lot of different things. Ask questions. Find out what people had to say about it. It also doesn't mean that you get to decide what the Bible means for you. Just because somebody somewhere says something about the Bible doesn't mean that it's true, okay? I mean, I can find lots of different interpretations, but that doesn't mean that they're true just because I found it on a YouTube video, okay? We have to kind of double check, did the Bible really say that? Word alone, that means that you look to the Bible as God's word speaking to you and changing you. It's an experience with God who wants to change us, who wants to mold us to be more like him. It gets the first word and the final word. Not a pope, not a pastor, right? Not you either. You don't get the final word. God's word gets the final word because God gets the glory when we live our lives by his word alone. Amen.